the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Well, I guess we'll make it to Jerusalem in time for the Passover. And you shall have your wish to be in Jerusalem when people from all over the world are there. But, sir, if you don't mind my saying so, I doubt very much if your cherished hope of removing some of the prejudice of your countrymen so that they might be led to accept Christ will be realized. They are a bigoted, stubborn lot, especially in Jerusalem.
Everything is possible through Jesus our Lord and his Holy Spirit.
No man is forced to accept the faith against his own will.
Well, we can try to convert them. Anyway, my dear Luke, we have other missions in Jerusalem. We would like to see the brethren again. We have a large sum of money donated by the Gentile believers for the poor of Jerusalem, and we hope to bring about a firmer union between the Israelite and the Gentile converts to the faith.
The part of getting to Jerusalem by Passover week has been solved. We set sail for a port on the coast of Palestine tomorrow.
Oh, good work, Luke. Thank you very much. My beloved believers in Jesus, continue to hold fast your faith, and verily we shall all meet Jesus in the skies to be with him forever.
Wait a minute. Paul, do not board that ship.
Well, arrangements have been made, my brother.
But you will never reach the shores of Palestine on that ship.
I myself made the arrangements, brother. Is that ship going somewhere besides Palestine?
Israelite spies from Jerusalem are in that ship with instructions to kill you while at sea.
Orders from Chief Priest Ananias?
No. The Sanhedrin has spies following the apostles, especially Paul, to oppose and stop their work wherever possible and in any manner.
But how do you know they intend to kill Paul?
It is a specific plot made by the spies. I learned of the plot and rushed here to stop you all from falling into their hands.
That means we shall have to go to Jerusalem in some other manner.
Well, there is only one other practical route, through Macedonia. We cannot possibly get to Jerusalem by Passover week. But we should make it by Pentecost.
By the grace of God, so shall it be.
Show him in. I'll see him.
His Highness the High Priest will see you. Enter.
God's blessing upon His Highness.
What is it you wish?
Your Highness, I am one of the spies commissioned to follow the leaders of the Christians. I have been in Asia following Paul. He made arrangements to come to Jerusalem on a certain ship. Immediately, I arranged to have him thrown overboard. But just before getting on that ship, he changed his plans and is coming to Jerusalem by the way of Macedonia.
He must have found out about your plan to kill him.
He must have, Your Highness, but I do not see how. Shall I continue to follow him, Your Highness?
No. He's coming to Jerusalem. We'll make plans. He shall die here, within sight of the temple he so freely blasphemes. How are his efforts among the Gentiles progressing?
Oh, beyond belief, Your Highness. He is telling the people, and many of them believe him, that there is no difference between Israelites and Gentiles. They are all the seed of Abraham. Everyone is. Especially those who accept his theories and become Christians.
That is precisely why his voice must be silenced. Such talk and teaching is the worst sort of blasphemy.
Luke and I will remain here in Philippi for the Passover. The rest of you go on to Troas and be with them during Passover week. Luke and I will meet you there in about 10, 15 days. Farewell until we meet again, and God's grace and blessings go with you.
Farewell, my brother.
People who have accepted the message of salvation through Christ our Lord, you here at Philippi are the most loving and true-hearted.
I say amen to that.
During these 8 days of the Passover, I have enjoyed peaceful and happy communion with you. I'm sure Dr. Luke echoes that.
Yes, they have been very happy days indeed.
It is with love in both our hearts and prayers on our lips for your continued growth in truth and spirit that we take leave of you and continue our journey to Jerusalem.
When are you leaving, Elder Paul?
We must be at Neapolis to board a ship for Troas about noon. Remember, my beloved, always remember, salvation comes to those who keep the faith, not to those who only obey the laws. Meditate upon the cross. Learn to appreciate the great sacrifice Jesus made by coming to earth to live as a man among men, suffering shame and death for you. Then accept of that sacrifice by believing on Jesus. Confess your sins. Be baptized. Your love and faith in and for Jesus will grow and increase. Then you will obey his holy laws, not for salvation, but because you love Jesus and want to do his will, which is expressed in his commandments.
Come aboard, you two. We cast off right now. Sailor, up to it on the double.
Farewell, farewell.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible and Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Live with Sam. My guest today is my sister Lily, and she's here to talk about sleep.
Sleep? I thought you said sheep.
Lily, I noticed that you go to sleep each night right at 9 o'clock. Can you tell me why?
Because I'm sleepy.
But so many children at your age like to stay up much, much later.
Yeah, and then they walk around the next day looking and acting like they're only half awake. My friend Sarah even falls asleep in class.
Well, your friend Sarah doesn't understand how important sleep is to a growing mind and body.
And you do?
Sure. When you sleep, your body has time to heal. It's not busy digesting food or thinking about stuff. It just relaxes and fixes things.
Fixes things? Like what?
Oh, infections and different kinds of diseases.
So sleeping is healing?
Absolutely. And you don't snore in class.
I love it when Sarah does that, especially right after the teacher says something really serious. Everyone laughs and then Sarah wakes up and thinks someone told a joke. So she starts laughing too.
Maybe you need to tell Sarah how important it is to sleep at night.
No way. Then we wouldn't have anything to laugh at in class.
Lily, we're supposed to teach people how to be healthy, not embarrass themselves in school.
Okay, you're right. I'll call Sarah right now and wish her a good night.
But it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Hey, she needs all the sleep she can get.
This is Live with Sam. Good night. I mean, goodbye.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
God promises to instruct me. God will instruct us. He will teach us in the way we should go. Oh, God will instruct us. He will teach us in the way we should go.
Happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Chapter 3, Crossed Swords. Hey, Dee Dee, Willie called when Jenny and Dee Dee walked into the shoebox the next day. I hear you and Jenny are staying in a spooky old house on the other side of town. In their Mill Valley church, the kids Dee Dee and Jenny's age have their class in a small room down a long hallway. Their teacher's name is Mrs. Shoe, pronounced Shoe. So they call their room the Shoebox, and the kids who meet there are called the Shoebox Kids. It's not a spooky house, Willie, Dee Dee answered. It's my grandmother's house. Yeah, and it's neat, Jenny said. It's just too bad that we lost Dee Dee's grandmother's Bible. Jenny and Dee Dee told the others about the disappearing Bible. Sounds like you have another mystery on your hands, Mrs. Shoe said, but I am sure their Bible will turn up somewhere. We did get to sleep upstairs all by ourselves last night, Jenny said, and it's even got a room where a pirate stayed for a while. A pirate? Cool, Chris said. Well, he wasn't really a pirate, Dee Dee said, but he was a sea captain and a bad guy. That sounds like a pirate to me, Sammy interrupted. Shiver me timbers, Willie said, trying to sound like a pirate. Ship ahoy, Sammy added, pretending he was holding a sword. Har, har, Chris said. En garde. He pretended to poke a sword at Sammy. Here we go again, muttered Maria, Chris's older sister. Settle down, boys, Mrs. Shoe said with a smile. Put your swords away, and let's study about swords in our Bibles. Swords? Really? Willie said. Sure, Willie, Maria said. A lot of people used swords in the Bible. That's right, Chris agreed. Remember? Peter cut off a person's ear with a sword. And the angel at the Garden of Eden had a flaming sword, added Dee Dee. And Gideon's 300 soldiers had swords, Jenny said. Mrs. Shoe nodded. Yes, there are many stories in the Bible about using swords. That's how people protected themselves in those days. But did you know that Christians have to protect themselves, too? Chris raised his hand. I've thought about taking karate. Nobody would mess with me then. Mrs. Shoe smiled and shook her head. I'm not talking about stopping bullies. God wants you to be a Christian and succeed in life, but there is someone who wants you to fail. Maria raised her hand. That's the devil. Mrs. Shoe nodded. That's right, Maria. Would you read a text for us, and would you pick one of our big, strong men here to help me? The words big, strong, and men stirred the boys in the shoebox to life. Maria looked from Sammy to Chris to Willie. Each one flexed his muscles as much as he could, trying to look tough. Maria scratched her head and looked at Mrs. Shoe. Big? Strong? I don't know. Oh, well, I choose Sammy anyway. Sammy raised his hands in victory and walked to the front. The others cheered him. Now, Sammy, Mrs. Shoe explained, turning him to face the others, Maria is going to read Ephesians 6:10-17. As she reads on how to defend against the devil, I will cover you with the protection she talks about. Mrs. Shoe nodded at Maria. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his great power. Sammy flexed his muscles. Maria rolled her eyes and kept reading. Wear God's armor so that you can fight against the devil's evil tricks. Creepy, Chris said. It's one thing to fight another person, but how can we fight the devil's tricks? Good question, Chris, Mrs. Shoe said. Why don't you and Willie come up here and help me show how the fight would go if we stood on our own? Chris walked to the front and Willie rolled his wheelchair. Each took a place on either side of Sammy. Now, Sammy, Mrs. Shoe said, if I were to give each of these boys wooden yardsticks, what would happen to you? She handed Chris and Willie each a yardstick. I'd get pounded, Sammy said meekly. Boys, show him, but be nice, Mrs. Shoe said. Chris and Willie pretended to beat Sammy with the two yardsticks. Ouch, Sammy said. Those pretend whacks hurt. Okay, boys, stop, Mrs. Shoe said. Maria, continue reading. Maria nodded. That is why you need to get God's full armor. Then, on the day of evil, you will be able to stand strong. And when you have finished the whole fight, you will still be standing. So stand strong with the belt of truth tied around your waist. And on your chest, wear the protection of right living. And on your feet, wear the good news of peace to help you stand strong. And also use the shield of faith. With that, you can stop all the burning arrows of the evil one. As Maria read the text, Mrs. Shoe reached into a box behind the blackboard and pulled out metal armor. She placed the armor around Sammy's hips, legs, chest, and shoulders. Then she took out some oversized boots and had Sammy step into them. Finally, she pulled out a wooden shield and handed it to him. Now those guys can't hurt me, Sammy said. Wait, Sammy, Mrs. Shoe said. The text says to put on the full armor of God. You're not completely protected yet. Willie agreed. Yeah, guy, what if I were to conk you over the head? He tapped Sammy on the head with his ruler. And you don't have anything to fight back with yet, added Chris. It's coming, Mrs. Shoe said. Maria, read on. Maria did. Accept God's salvation to be your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit. That sword is the teaching of God. Mrs. Shu reached behind her again to take a silver helmet out of the box. Sammy put it on. Then Mrs. Shu gave Sammy an oversized wooden sword that was sharp on one side and dull on the other. Sammy held it high over his head. "Okay, you guys," Sammy roared. "Now I'm ready for you." Willie and Chris whacked Sammy's armor with their rulers, but Sammy was unhurt. Quickly, Willie and Chris realized that Sammy was more than a match for them. He swung his sword at them, and they finally retreated to the back of the room. "Come back and fight," Sammy roared. The rest of the class cheered. When they settled down, Dee Dee raised her hand. "Mrs. Shu, are we really supposed to walk around and look like Sammy does? It might have looked okay back in Bible days, but today it would look strange. What does the Bible mean?" "Well, look at the verse," Mrs. Shu said. "It says that we are at war with the devil, but there are weapons available, and these verses tell us how they should be used. What do the pieces of armor and weapons mean?" It was quiet for a moment as they looked at the verses. Finally, Maria raised her hand. "The belt of truth and the chest covering of right living must mean knowing right from wrong. And the feet are protected by the good news of peace," Sammy said. "What do you think that means?" "Well, we have feet to take us places swiftly," Mrs. Shu said. "Perhaps the verse means that we're protected when we're taking the good news of peace, the good news about Jesus Christ, everywhere as swiftly as possible." "And then there's the shield of faith," Willie said, "strong enough to protect you from flaming arrows." "That's because faith is belief that God will take care of you no matter what happens," Chris said. "Exactly right, Chris," Mrs. Shu said. Jenny waved her hand, then pointed at the side of her head. "The helmet of God's salvation must mean that you have to know you are saved and what Jesus has done to save you." "I know what the sword of the Spirit is," Dee Dee said. "It's the Bible." "How is the Bible like a sword?" Mrs. Shu asked. Nobody answered. "I guess I can't expect you to have all the answers," Mrs. Shu continued, "but that answer is an important one. Think about it over the next week. How is the Bible like a sword?" "I don't know how to answer Mrs. Shu's question," Jenny said to Dee Dee as they left. "How is a Bible like a sword?" Dee Dee didn't answer. She was busy thinking about a sword that was still missing at her grandmother's house.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 7, The Clue in the Secret Passage, written by Glenn Robinson, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.